Professor J.D. DeSalvatore is here to talk about the Los Angeles Lesbian and Gay Wedding Expo that she's producing in association with Frontiers Media that's happening on November 10th in L.A. Hi, J.D.
Hey, Charlotte. How are you doing?
Fine. How are you?
Fabulous, fabulous.
Tell us about the Los Angeles Lesbian and Gay Wedding Expo.
Well, we're real excited to do this. I'm working with Frontiers, which has been basically the number one LGBT magazine in Southern California for the last 30 years. And we decided, considering how much work we put into attaining our marriage rights here in California, we thought it would be absolutely the perfect thing to do to produce this giant gay wedding expo. So what it is the opportunity for all the couples now that are ready to get married to come down and check out about 50 vendors that all service weddings. So everything from cakes to fashion to invitations to dance lessons to reception locations to venue locations to wedding planners sharing with you some tricks how to plan your wedding and everything wedding, basically. So hopefully if anybody's overwhelmed with the thought of planning their wedding or they're really enjoying planning their wedding, they can come down and learn a little something and get some tips and get some expo-only discounts and help people plan their wedding.
How did you get involved with this event?
I came up with the idea, basically, because those of us out here in Southern California fought really hard to have marriage rights. You know, Prop 8 was devastating for California. It was horrible. I mean, it kind of worked out in an interesting way. Like, the courts gave everyone the right to get married, and we were like, oh, wow, we can get married. So most everyone knew that it wouldn't last. So for 4 months, I think it was 18,000 got married, and then all of a sudden they did a vote. Everyone here in Southern California worked on the campaign, no on Prop 8. A lot of money was put into the campaign. At Prop 8 in California, I think it was the highest amount of money ever for a proposition. I think between the two, between yes and no, it was like $76 million was poured into this campaign, and we lost. So then all of a sudden, marriage rights were taken away. And this affected us in a variety of ways. One, I just said all this money was poured into it, so all of a sudden, all the other LGBT organizations out here couldn't raise any money because everybody was absolutely tapped up. So not only did we lose the right to get married, but then our everyday LGBT nonprofits that are servicing our community, you know, like Lambda Legal and GLAAD and the Gay and Lesbian Center in Los Angeles and Point Foundation and the Film Festival, all these nonprofits that we love started suffering because no one had any money left because they had poured all their money into Prop 8. So it was quite a brutal fight. And, you know, out here we took to the streets when 8 passed. There was 8 days solid of protests. You know, it was a big deal out here. So now this is years and years and years later, and thank God the court case got us the right. So obviously it's a really big deal. So that being said, yes, we're going to do a gay and lesbian wedding expo. We get to do this now. This is something that straight couples have been indulging in for years, and now we get to do this as well. We get to have ceremony and tradition and throw a beautiful wedding, and this is part of a rite of passage for Americans, you know. Getting married. It's like having your bar mitzvah or graduating from college. This is getting married. It symbolizes families merging. You're going to have kids carrying on to the family name. You know, your wedding pictures ideally are passed down for generations. So for the first time, now gay couples get to have that. Of course, we're going to produce a wedding expo. Let's do this up big.
What would you like to accomplish with this expo?
Well, what we hope to accomplish is if you're a little overwhelmed by all the details, you can come and figure things out a little easier. And if you're maybe, you know, a little Martha Stewart in training and you want to produce, like, a fabulous event, you can also come and get some neat tips, tricks, and get some ideas for your own wedding.
What is your personal commitment to LGBT civil rights?
I've been working in LGBT civil rights for about 14 years, almost exclusively. I work with a variety of nonprofits. I've worked at them. I volunteered for a variety of nonprofits. It affects me personally because, you know, about 14 years ago, I got a job at the film festival here locally, Outfest. We have a wonderful LGBT film festival during the summer that's really not just a film festival, but like a cultural event, very large. So I got a job there, and then my young staff members, who were young gays and lesbians, you know, from like age 20, 25, and I was a little shocked at how the world had treated them. And, you know, most of them were disowned by their parents. Some of them fell into crystal meth addiction. Some of them got HIV. I mean, I noticed how rough the world had been on them. And I just didn't think that was fair. It was absolutely not fair. And it's sort of a societal thing. You can't blame people's individual parents. I mean, the church is telling people that gay is wrong. And, you know, gay kids end up on the streets here in California because they have to run away from home because their parents don't accept them. And then they don't get a college education. And it's just horrible. And there's no reason for wonderful quality people to be treated this way. There's no reason. It just makes no sense to me. So after that, I sort of started dedicating a lot of my time to this, to try to see a change. You know, I'm really involved with Point Foundation. I love that organization. I love several nonprofits, but Point is a national organization which basically gives leadership training, mentors, and full scholarships to college to LGBT students of merit and need. So it's been really exciting to be involved with that organization now. I think it's been 8 or 9 years, because I've seen these kids that come in at about 18 years old and 19, disowned by their parents, living in their cars in high school. More than one of them were valedictorians that gave a valedictorian speech after, you know, living in their car. And then you hear that they get these great jobs, they get these wonderful educations, many of them Ivy League. And, you know, it's wonderful. It's the way we should be treating our youth. I mean, if society wants to give them a hard time, why don't we get together as a group and love and support them and give them the guidance and leadership that they deserve, that everyone deserves, you know, everyone. So, yeah, I've been very invested, and I've worked extensively in all sorts of varieties of gay activism, and I make gay films, the kind of gay films that you can show your kids, show your mom, show your grandma, like Shelter and A Marine Story, feel-good, happy-ending gay films.
What was your reaction to the U.S. Supreme Court Prop 8 and DOMA rulings?
It was amazing. I mean, it took long enough. It was just like, are we going to get it? Are we going to get it? Extension. Are we going to get it? Are we going to get it? Appeals. Like, we followed this Prop 8. I was very confident that this was going to go our way, but that was not, like, across the board something that people thought. I mean, I thought this court case was brilliant. You know, this was done by AFER, the organization AFER, and it was considered a little risky amongst activists. It's like, oh, you're going to take this to the Supreme Court. What if they say no? Boy, is that going to screw us. But subsequently, a lot of people also thought this is the way to go. I mean, they hired two of the hotshot lawyers in the entire country to take this to the Supreme Court. So I was very pleased, obviously. Oh, my God. And it's interesting to see how it all worked out. With DOMA and the Prop 8 overturning kind of at the same time. And I think, you know, it came after Don't Ask, Don't Tell being overturned, too. And it came after sort of a wave of marriage rights across the country, each state by state fighting for their marriage rights. So it's kind of fascinating, sociologically speaking, to see how everything's kind of worked hand in hand. Basically, we had a tipping point. It's sort of the thing where everyone worked together to get this, because the wave of LGBT rights that we're getting now is unbelievable, because we've been working at trying to get our rights since Stonewall. And now, sort of like, you have all these sort of components working together. You have more LGBT out people on television. You have the courts, it being fought in the courts, it being fought in public opinion, it being fought by everyday people just coming out of the closet. I mean, that's a huge contributor to things moving forward, is when people decide that they're going to come out to their families. Because 10, 20 years ago, a lot of problems we had were, like, we would hear all this negative rhetoric about LGBT people and rights. And the problem is nobody knew that their uncle was gay, or their postperson was gay, or their doctor was gay, because no one was out. So it was very easy for people to be discriminatory. Now, I mean, you even see the Republican congressmen who are like, whoa, I'm changing my opinion because my daughter's gay, or my doctor's gay, or my friend's gay, or, you know, look at George Bush was just at a gay wedding. So it's like everything working together is sort of what made that happen, and then it being affected in the courts was just perfect. I thought it was awesome.
LGBTQ teens are 4 times more likely to attempt suicide than their heterosexual peers, and we continue to have numerous teens taking their own lives after facing bullying incidents. What advice would you have for these kids?
First of all, this is not a problem that's going away. Like I just mentioned, that we've been getting, you know, this wave of rights and public visibility that's positive. We're starting to have words like fag taken out of the public rhetoric. I mean, if I can give you one word of advice, there's a Trevor hotline that you can find almost anywhere. I mean, go online to thetrevorproject.org and call that number. Just do it. Because the minute you make a connection with somebody and you get to talk to somebody, you won't be in it alone. A lot of young LGBT people I meet live in communities and live in worlds where absolutely everyone around them is sort of anti-gay. And they sort of get this feeling that there's nobody else out there like them, or there's nobody that is okay with this. And the minute you pick up the phone and talk to somebody that cares about you and is like you. That's what I would recommend.
How can people get information about the Los Angeles Lesbian Gay Wedding Expo?
Well, we have a website, which is the lagayweddingguide.com. Head on over there. We've got fun stuff going on there. We have a blog. We also have a Facebook page, which you can look it up at Lesbian and Gay Wedding Expo.
What other projects are you working on?
I've got several films in development currently, so I'm excited about that.
Do you have a favorite quote or mantra to get you through difficult times?
Could be worse. Whatever situation you're in, it always could be worse. It's important to be happy and positive every single day. And I think, if you're ever having a hard time, I think it's important to look on the bright side. I feel very strongly about that.